The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football, featuring Zach Zaidman and Tom Thayer. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
Also pleased to be joined by former Bears quarterback Jim Miller for the entire hour here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Alongside Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman. We've got Jim Miller with us as well. And a lot to talk about. New NFL rules. The Bears doing some team bonding down in Florida. Johnny Manziel had his pro day. But guys, the most important news for the Bears this week, this offseason, they're a better team today than they were a couple of days ago because of the acquisition of Jared Allen, signing him to a four-year deal. He'll be officially introduced come Monday at Halas Hall. Start with you, Tom. From a football standpoint, how does this change the whole dimension of how you look at the Bears right now?
Well, right now you have a weapon on defense that you're always going to have to be concerned with. When it is a passing scenario, either on first, second, or third down, Jared has the ability to put immediate pressure on the quarterback. Does he do it every time? No. But does he open opportunities for everybody else? And I think that's the key ingredient of what we've been talking about all offseason, is what is the defense going to do to be a defense that kind of morph in the different fronts, use their versatility as a weapon, make sure they can take advantage of a limitation of an opponent's offense where they see the weakness. All this coming to play, Jared is going to be able to help the other 10 guys. It's not Jared coming here to have a career year. It's Jared coming here to be what he's been to help the other teammates.
Well, Zach, Tom, good to be with you. And, hey, my thoughts are the same as Tom's, really. I think they got the best defensive end out there in free agency. We can talk about the deal that DeMarcus Ware got for the Denver Broncos, or even talk about the deal that Julius Peppers got with the Green Bay Packers. The bottom line is Jared Allen is younger, and he's more productive than either of those players. He's coming off his seventh consecutive year of double-digit sacks. I heard somebody poo-pooing the move, saying, oh, he doesn't get as many sacks in outdoor stadiums. It's not true. Indoors, he's got like 62, and outdoors, he's got like 57 when you pull up the statistics of Jared Allen. So he's a four-time All-Pro. He's still young, has a lot left in the tank when you look at the two-year deal that essentially is what it's going to be for the Bears. Leads the league right now currently in terms of active defensive ends since 2004 when he came into the league with 128.5 sacks. So I think the Bears got the most productive defensive end in the NFL here this offseason. Really good signing by Phil Emery.
I think the bottom line is this. The Bears were tied with the Jaguars for the fewest sacks in the NFL as a team in 2013 with just 31. This guy had 11.5 sacks last year at the age of 31, and he's more than just a sack artist. If you look at the things, you know, the Bears are big on analytics now since Phil Emery became general manager, and according to stats, Allen was ninth in the NFL last year with 38 knockdowns and hurries of quarterbacks. Julius Peppers and Shea McClellan combined 36.5 last year in terms of knockdowns and hurries. This guy forces you, if you're an opposing offensive coordinator, if you're an opposing quarterback, to constantly know where he is on the field. He's a game changer.
Right, and they have to keep stats and numbers that are associated to the performance of players. But as impressive as those numbers are, you have to think about the other 14, 15, 20 plays associated to the 38 that are documented. And that's what Jared Allen needs to do. Again, it's not statistical career year out of him. It's a statistical year to come in here and help the teammates have career years. And if you get a guy to develop like Shea McClellan on the opposite side of the football, and again, we're hoping for that, and it may happen with the assistance of a guy like Jared Allen, both mentally and physically and observance-wise. And if you can get these guys and the Jeremiah Ratliffs and stuff, you're talking about potent weapons inside and outside. And again, that one guy that ignites the wick every time, and that's Jared.
And Jim, the other thing that I look at, it just gives the Bears so much more flexibility. Say, come draft day, you know, they have the 14th overall pick. Prior to the signing of Jared Allen, you're thinking, well, where's that pass rush coming from? Do they have to go for a three technique? Do they have to get an under tackle? Now they can go in a variety of different directions. They still have to fix their secondary, specifically the safety position. There are a couple of good guys that could be available with the Bears pick at 14. Same thing at cornerback. I think the flexibility now offered to the Bears organization is the biggest thing, in addition to the fact that this guy has been a very productive player even into his 30s.
Yeah, well, he is, and he's a worker bee because he goes all out every single play when you look at Jared Allen. I agree with you. I think it provides them position flexibility, what truly is the quote-unquote best player on the board. Maybe Phil Emery at the first-round spot. Maybe it's the safeties that we talked about. Is there a defensive lineman? Because I still like to see a space eater on the defensive line for the Chicago Bears. You mentioned there's going to be some linebackers there. Corners, it's interesting, as I just come back from the NFL owners meetings, I couldn't believe how many general managers just raved about the cornerback depth in this 2014 NFL draft. There's some good ones out there. You know, Darquez Dennard, obviously I'd promote him from Michigan State, but you got Verrett, you got Gilbert. There's a lot of corners out there that a lot of these teams are liking right now, and there's a lot of depth at corner as well. So still think it is a defensive selection in that first round, but you know, Phil Emery's going to go with what he feels is going to build this team. But clearly, last year the focus was the offensive side of the ball, and he has proven this offseason, when you look at Phil Emery, he will bolster the defense. That was a huge signing, getting Jared Allen.
One thing I like about what they've been able to do in the offseason is they've been able to go out there and secure some positions, and I think that helps them where they're positioned in the draft. When you go out there and you read stories about Cleveland right now, and there's uncertainty, and they're going to keep it close to the vest, they're not going to tell anybody, it's because they're still thinking, they're still guessing. And one thing the Chicago Bears have done with their free agent signings is limit what they need to hit on in the draft. And with a variety of talent, it's going to increase your chances to succeed, because it's not, you're not looking at a wide variety of guys at different positions. You're kind of looking at a couple of different spots in a variety of talent.
Zach Zaidman, Jim Miller, Tom Thayer here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. A little bit later on, we'll play Ask Tom. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. That's where we go rapid fire with your questions, anything in the world of football for Tom Thayer. We've got Judge Jim on the other side, making sure that the best caller of the segment wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. So we'll play that a little bit later on in the show. But before we get to that, you know, when we come back in the next segment, we've talked about all the positive things. Is there any negative things that worry you about this potential signing? Because for every good thing that you can talk about with any free agent signing, it's still free agency. Right. So we'll talk about the potential negatives coming up on the other side. Also, a bunch of new NFL rules that directly impact the Bears and every other team in the league. So we'll talk about that. And we've got a quarterback on the show, right, Tom?
Yes.
So let's ask him about what he thought watching Johnny Manziel today. All that's next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Win the ultimate VIP experience, the 2014 Chicago Bears Miller Lite Draft Party presented by Chase on Friday, May 9th. Miller Lite is offering one lucky fan tickets. This sold-out draft party, autograph and picture with a Bears player and more. Visit ChicagoBears.com now to sign up. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. You can tweet us questions, hashtag CB Network, and then I'll be able to find it and read the questions and ask these two experts all the questions that you've got. We're also going to play Ask Tom a little bit later on the show at 312-644-6767. But, you know, we talked about all the positives in regards to signing Jared Allen in our last segment. But, Jim, any negatives to bringing in a guy like this, a reported $15.5 million guaranteed over the next 2 years? Is there any downside to making a move like this?
No, I don't think so, because I think Jared Allen has you know, I know he had a rough start in his NFL career, had a couple of off-the-field issues at Kansas City, but he's grown up quite a bit. I've talked to him numerous times and interviewed him on Sirius XM Radio, and he's matured quite a lot. He's very involved in the community. You obviously saw his message that he left to the Minnesota Vikings fans up there, and this guy loves football. And he's going to play it for the right price. And, you know, there's a lot of integrity to where he's at in his NFL career right now. And I still think, like I said, he's got a lot left in the tank. He's a young 31 years old, and his motor is tremendous. And he wants to win, and I think that type of enthusiasm will rub off on his teammates. This is not some fat cat who's going to come to Chicago and rest on his laurels. This guy's going to play football, and he's going to play it hard, and you can't get enough of those guys on your football team.
You know, that's the thing. Coach Ditka always talked about ACE, attitude, character, and enthusiasm. And that's one thing Jared has a lot of, and that's the thing you want to spill over to some of these young guys that need a little attitude pickup in the middle of the week or the middle of the season. And with that being said, I think the test for Jared Allen at this age and with his ability as a pass rusher is how he plays in the run against the run. When there's a team that's determined to run against somebody in the Chicago Bears front, maybe they'll try to see if they can go at Jared. And if he accepts the responsibility, sheds some blocks, getting there, makes a tackle for a loss, making a tackle, tight end look bad, and then they'll go the other side. But I do think one of the continuous tests, and it's been that way throughout Jared's career, and when he's up to that challenge, they do have to find a different direction.
You want to know what's interesting, too, and I actually thought about this, and I can see why if I'm Jared Allen. Everybody was talking that he'd sign with the Seahawks. Look at the left tackles in that division. And then look at the left tackles in the NFC North who Jared Allen will be going against. And he's already faced Matt Khalil the past 4 years up there in Minnesota, you know, in training camp. Granted, Khalil's only been there 2 years, but he's already seen that guy. I don't think when you look at Bakhtiari of Green Bay, you look at the Detroit Lions and who they have at left tackle, the only tackle that shut Jared Allen out was the Bears, Jermaine Bushrod. So in terms of productivity, he knows the division. He knows the league. It's actually the best landing spot for Jared Allen because of the tackles he's going to face in division in the North.
16 career sacks in 13 games against the Packers, the most sacks he has against any team in the NFL. That doesn't hurt.
No. I mean, what the Bears have been searching for years is somehow to provide the pressure on Aaron Rodgers. And again, you know, you get the sack numbers against him, but just think about all the other good plays that the quarterback has either had to throw the ball early or a tackle for loss in the run. And those are the plays that you want to happen more often, especially against Green Bay.
Hey, Jim, do you have a better idea now that you see all the different defensive linemen that the Bears have brought in? I don't think you can think of the Bears defensively the way we have over the last 10 years. They don't need to get an under tackle that's the prototypical three technique, where maybe they needed one in the past. It's a very different defense now, isn't it?
Well, I think defensively it's starting to shape up that you could kick Lamar Houston down to play defensive tackle or pass rushing defensive tackle on pass downs. So it gives them flexibility from that standpoint. I still think you need a bigger defensive tackle for the rundowns. I really do. I think they need a guy who can command the double teams. And that's normally just first and second down. We know it's becoming an exponentially spread game when you look at all the empty sets and things that teams do, especially in the North Division. Green Bay does it. Lions do it. I think North Turner's going to do it a lot more up there for the Minnesota Vikings. So they've got the speed, in my opinion, for their NASCAR package on third downs. It's just if a team like Green Bay elects to be, you know, mushing Eddie Lacy like they did last year, I still think the Bears need that space eater inside.
Yeah, I do agree. I think there's instances where if you do have that space eater inside, you can make an offense one-dimensional, especially if they have an exposed weakness on the inside. But I do think this is going to be unique in the ability to set players up to win the speed game. And whether it's Jonathan Bostic, Lance Briggs, Tim Jennings, Charles Tillman off the corner, or these defensive ends that they've been able to get, and even the different ways they can use Willie Young, Lamar Houston, and Jared Allen, they do have a defense now that they can capitalize on multiple abilities to attack from different angles, different people.
Register today at priceless.com/Chicago for MasterCard's Priceless Chicago, a collection of amazing experiences available exclusively to MasterCard cardholders. Hey, Jim, when I look at the defense, and I remember what fans were saying, and you watch the games, you know, the safety position was not what it needed to be a year ago, and there's a lot that went into it. I think the first two levels of the defense were banged up, and it exposed some of the guys on the back end. But that being said, what kind of a safety do the Bears need back there with the kind of defense they're building to this point?
I think exactly what you need, the last line of defense. Because as much as the problems up front, meaning the front seven, affected the back seven, you still have to do your job. You know, meaning the last line of defense being the quote-unquote safety. So when it's your turn to make a play, no matter what's going on up front, you still have to make the play. So they need a sure-handed tackler. There's no doubt about that. In terms of coverage, they need to know their assignments so that they're not out of position. I think we saw that happen on numerous occasions last year. And again, this draft has solid safeties. Already, when you look at Phil Emery, he has the insurance signings. When you look at Ryan Mundy and M.D. Jennings, but you know, you think of some safeties that have been drafted high over the past couple of years, say Matt Elam for the Baltimore Ravens. Instant impact player. Vaquero, safety drafted by the New Orleans Saints. That dude's a body rocker. Look at San Francisco and what they do with Eric Reed, drafted from LSU in the first round. Smart kid, stepped on the field right away and was a great player in San Francisco's defense. So I do think, you know, that position has been a revolving door for the Bears, and maybe this could be the draft with good safeties that the Bears could lock up a good one for many years to come.
We got to take a timeout when we come back. I wasn't around for Jim Miller's pro day, but I'm guessing he didn't wear camo, probably didn't have the helmet covering up the fancy hair.
They counted his 40 by hand.
He said it, Jim, not me. But when we come back, we'll get Jim's take on probably the most controversial guy out there in the draft heading into May, and that would be Johnny Manziel, because there are people who love him. But on the other side, you find people who simply do not want to get anywhere near this guy. So what's the reality when it comes to Johnny Manziel? That's next with Jim Miller here on Bears All Access. Tom Thayer's along. I'm Zach Zaidman on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Join the Chicago Bears Kids Club, brought to you by Papa John's. Members have access to events, contests, and opportunities to meet Bears players, as well as chances to win Bears tickets. Sign up at chicagobears.com/kidsclub. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We're about, 10 minutes away from playing Ask Tom. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. We essentially go an entire segment with you guys, rapid-fire style, asking Tom questions about the world of football, and Jim Miller is the judge at the end of the segment. Mills, as we like to call him here on the show, will predict and hand out a gift certificate to Sports Authority to the best caller who had the best question for Tom during the segment. But before we get to that, the big story around the NFL today is the pro day of Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, and he looked good out at Texas A&M. Apparently, according to NFL Network, every team was out there except for the Browns and the Bears, and we know why the Bears weren't there. The Browns, I think they're playing coy, right, going CIA style in terms of not wanting anyone to know which quarterback they're taking. But, Jim, you went through this process as a quarterback. You've seen many come and go. What were your thoughts as you were watching this?
Well, first off, Tom is not going to get in one whole word, because I I watched this pro day workout. And all I can say right now, the NFL is amazing, because just when you think you've seen it all, it happened today, where you learned something for the first time. Because, one, televising pro days is now absolutely standard operating procedure in the National Football League. And here you've got a kid in Johnny Manziel. The 41st president is there, and George H. Bush. Barbara Bush was there. She's walking her dogs in the middle of the workout.
That's not
one.
A joke. That really did happen.
It's unsanitary.
he calls up all the head coaches and the scouts and breaks it down before the workout. I've never seen that happen before, because basically at my pro day, it was like, what do you need me to do? Would you need me to go jump through that hula hoop over there? He's telling them what he's going to do. And then he's got his camo on. He's got his knee highs. He puts on the pads. You know, that was a nice touch, even throwing with his pads. When you look at Johnny Manziel, that'll be a trend-setting thing. You'll see all quarterbacks doing that in the future. Probably unnecessary, but he did it because that's who he is. And, what can you say? He lit it up. It was a really nice workout for Johnny Manziel. But here's the point. The kid shows up at the big moments, and it's no big deal for him. I mean, they're playing rap music throughout the entire workout. This kid's rapping as he's out there lighting it up, throwing the football. You know, nothing is overwhelming for him. He welcomes it. Fine, bring it on. Here's what we're doing. And he had a great workout. Bottom line is, the kid can play football. He is a productive football player. It's just, now, how is an NFL system going to adjust to Johnny Manziel's game, or incorporate and adapt his game? Because he'll be a productive NFL player. He really will. This guy can play football. The worries are the off-the-field issues. That's what teams are worried about right now. It's not his football IQ. He's extremely intelligent. He had a high Wunderlich test score when you look at Johnny Manziel. And, of course, his style of play. How durable is he when you look at his body frame? Can he take all those big hits? It's one thing playing at College Station. Well, get ready when Jared Allen lights you up in the NFL. Or guys like Jadeveon Clowney, who are much bigger than you, are faster than you. It brings me back to the days when Brian Urlacher, we played Atlanta 2 years in a row down in Atlanta, and Brian Urlacher at 260 hawked Michael Vick from behind, and Michael Vick just looked around like, nobody's as fast as me and can't catch me. And Urlacher said, dude, you're a chump. I just did it. You know, so that's what Johnny Manziel is going to have to deal with. And But he's, you know, I like his play. He's going to be a productive player. A team will adapt to his style of play. But he was smart in his workout, and he worked from under center the entire workout, showed his footwork, the rhythm and timing. Granted, he's not seeing pass rushers or coverages or anything like that, but he showed he can learn all that stuff and adapt pretty quickly. You know, he went and applied it out on the field in terms of the working under center because he did a lot of shotgun there at Texas A&M. So I like the kid. He's, to me, the X factor. And he may be the third player taken from Texas A&M. Mike Evans, that receiver, is phenomenal. Matthews, the left tackle, he's incredible. When you look at Manziel, he may be the third player selected out of Texas A&M in the draft, but he will go in the first round when you look at Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, I look at RG3, though. RG3, he blew his knee out hitting a Haloti Ngata in the stomach, and his leg didn't give, and Haloti Ngata's, or the leg gave and Haloti Ngata's stomach didn't. And when I look at Johnny Manziel, I like he's coached to talk, to do the interviews so well, and he came in and he put on his pads, and he's in there throwing footballs, targeted, and he, all that looks great. I mean, he does, man. He looks like probably you could take guys off the street and have them give a display of throwing the ball efficiently. But I do want to see how it all fits together. I want to see the abuse he takes from linebackers, defensive ends, chasing him down, the pounding he takes, and then how everything's going to be able to compute from those moments on. And I like Johnny Manziel, and I would draft him, but again, I need to see the stability in this frame that he has, because RG3 has already proved world-class speed will not get you out of harm's way in the NFL.
Jim, is it difficult to be as disciplined as Russell Wilson is? Because I think if you're a player like Manziel, that's the blueprint to do it the Russell Wilson way, where you use your physical gifts to put yourself in a position to make big-time throws and freeze defenses, but you have to be smart, and knowing when to go down, I think, is one of the toughest things for competitors that play the position like Manziel.
Yeah, well, his legs have always been a strength. Whenever he's in harm's way, he's been able to get out of harm's way, and that's really the struggle for him, is can you discipline him to be a pocket passer? And it's, you know, you look at how Seattle has brought along Russell Wilson. It's really somewhat similar to the offense he ran at Wisconsin. You know, we look at the run game, how they focus on that with Marshawn Lynch, and then they roll in the play-action game, do the movement plays with bootlegs and nakeds and things like that to use his movement skills. But probably the one criticism I would have about Johnny Manziel, Russell Wilson has a high, when he throws the football, he has got a high release. So he legitimately plays over 6 feet because his release is so high, because it's an over-the-top delivery. That's not the same with Johnny Manziel. So I wonder with Johnny Manziel if, you know, because his release is more three-quarter where it's right off of his ear, and he's only a little over 5'11". Yeah, I think he's 5'11 and a half when you look at Johnny Manziel. He legitimately is playing under 6 feet when he delivers a football. The one quarterback who did struggle with that, to me, was Seneca Wallace. He had a lot of passes batted down at the line of scrimmage. So you can adjust for it as a team, or as a coach or a general manager, by getting stout interior offensive linemen, meaning a big center, big guards that Tom can talk about. That's what New Orleans does with Drew Brees. Think of Jahari Evans, how big those monsters are, because they do that purposefully because they know Drew Brees is not that tall. So really my only criticism of Johnny, because he can play now, like I said, he can play, but that release, because it's so low, he is legitimately playing under 6 feet, and there are mountain, you know, in terms of passing lanes, those guys' arms, it looks like you're throwing through a forest sometimes, and I wonder how that's going to work out in the National Football League as well.
You hear one of the things they want to do is they want to make him discipline about dropping back behind center before he kind of falls off to the right or the left. And I think the more you make Johnny Manziel stay in the pocket, the more you take the fear of his ability away from the opponent. So I think that's going to be an interesting crossroads of Johnny Manziel. If you find a team that says, look, you stay inside this tackle pocket, you're going to see a lot of deflected footballs. And I don't think you're going to have the pregame fear into the defense that Russell Wilson brings with his reputation around the league.
From Johnny Football, we go to Tommy Football. Ask Tom is next, 312-644-6767. The best question for Tom from you in our next segment. you will win a gift certificate to Sports Authority. So if you want to know more about Jared Allen, you want to know about how these NFL rules are going to affect the Bears, you want to know more about what the Bears are going to do in the draft, all those questions and more coming up in Ask Tom right here on Bears All Access with Thayer, Zaidman, and Miller on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci, brought to you by Jimmy John's, and airing every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox Chicago, or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. Alongside Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman. It's time for Ask Tom here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. It's a simple game. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Anything is game in the world of football. You ask Tom the question. Judge Jim Miller's taking notes with the legal pad. At the end of the segment, he will say, so-and-so is the caller that wins the gift certificate to Sports Authority, and that person is going to be a very happy camper. So let's begin the festivities right now here on Bears All Access, 312-644-6767. We start in Hammond, Indiana. Chris, ask Tom.
Hey, Chris.
How's it going, Tom? I want to know, if the Bears are going to spend any time running 3-4, what are they going to need from the linebackers? How does that compare to what they've got on the roster currently?
You know, that's a good question. You know, what's the circumstances if they're going to use a 3-4? Do they want to get an extra linebacker on there who's better in coverage or possibly has a good matchup rushing a passer or rushing over a tight end or an offensive tackle or something? I do believe that if you can run the defense efficiently and you can create confusion amongst the offensive blockers, sometimes that's when you can create a matchup that you like. But, you know, they're going to have to be able to morph into that defense and be as strong as whatever front they're going to be. If they're a four-man front and they go to the 3-4, they're going to have to be played equally as strong.
312-644-6767. We're playing Ask Tom. We go to Larry in Elburn. You're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, Tom, as a man who played football for over 20 years, you're also teammates with Dave Duerson. What do you think about what we have learned over the last couple of years about CTE?
Oh, I think it's a continuous process. I think they're at the beginning stages of starting to understand some of the past guys they've been able to study now to see how it will affect the future. I don't think that they're ever going to stop learning, and I don't think it's ever going to be a case where we've found the solution and this is how we go forward. I think that all sports that have head trauma, whether it be NASCAR, soccer, football, they're all fortunate that they're doing such extreme studies, you know, for every sport and every kid that uses head contact.
Ask Tom rolls on Bears All Access. Wayne is in Pontiac, and you're on the score.
Hey, Wayne. Hi, Tom. I'm a fan of trick plays. I would love to see the Bears run one a game, especially, say, something like Israel Adonijé, which is one of my favorite players on offense as a tight end or a running back. And I'm just wondering what you think Coach Trestman may be putting in some more trick plays this year. Thanks. Bye.
You know, you see a guy like Jim Harbaugh uses different sets of personnel, whether it's defensive linemen in the backfield, that kind of creates some enthusiasm. But I think one thing with Coach Trestman is learn your offense 100%. Make sure everybody knows every assignment to every detail of this offense, and that's going to take a while. Then I do think you'll start seeing not a sleight of hand trick play, but something with a little bit of movement, a little bit of fun. And I wouldn't be surprised if Coach Trestman, he's got a couple design plays up his sleeve to really take advantage of the moment, field position, the exact time of a game that you need it most.
Bears scored 45 offensive touchdowns last season. They averaged 28 points per game. You don't want to play around with that with a lot of gimmicks because the offense as is was working.
Right, but every once in a while that gimmick play kind of ignites some enthusiasm amongst the troops.
Fair enough. 312-644-6767. Kevin in Oak Brook, ask Tom.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Tom. Yeah, I was wondering, do you think that the Bears, since they redid this entire, pretty much the entire line, or brought people back, that it'll have the same success with that Emery has done with the offensive line, the offense, or do you think that we're moving towards that same thing with the draft going into place?
You know, I think they have a real opportunity on defense to be able to morph this into a powerful position, because I think one thing about offensive line play is there's so many minor details to learning the assignments and the terminology and how five guys can work together and make sure everybody's on the same page, the same snap count, and understanding whether you're home on the road. There's more details, I think, to putting together an offensive line in the short period of time. But I think when you have veterans that they have, you can take this defensive group of veterans, and they can all use their experience to make the entire front better.
John in Joliet, ask Tom.
Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Love the show.
Thank you.
Hey, I was wondering, now that the Bears have filled so many holes through free agency with the 14th pick, do you think they should take a quarterback and wait to the second round to get a safety?
Did you say cornerback?
A quarterback, I'm sorry.
Oh, gosh, no. I think, again, I would rather draft defense to go and you build this defense as powerfully as you can. And if you have some solid safety talents in there, defensive tackle talents, and you got to take them, I do believe this. With Mark Trestman and Matt Kavanaugh, give them the opportunity to evaluate quarterbacks of every level to see how their intellect fits into their system, because I think it's such a difficult system terminology in learning everything about it, is allow those guys to help make the decision what the next quarterback is going to be rather than drafting one initially.
Our final caller here on Ask Tom, Maury from Wheaton. You're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Maury.
Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
Good.
I assume that the first-round pick will probably be somebody of a quality that can start. Where they're picking in the second round, is there a safety or defensive tackle that you think could start right away?
Well, that's the key ingredient of this whole draft, and I know Jim Miller can probably answer that question better, is that the unique thing about this draft is they do have starting depth into the fourth round. Now, if a guy is slipping to the fourth because of reputation, hopefully you can capitalize on the leadership you have in your locker room to get the best out of a player like that. But I think this is a draft where you're going to see teams drafting starters in the third and fourth round.
Jim, it's time to pick a winner here on Ask Tom. What do you got?
Well, first off, thank God, 2 weeks in a row, you haven't called me Judge Judy. You've got it right and called me Judge Jim. So I am going to go with Wayne from Pontiac. I'm going to go offense, of course, because, number one, he wants to see
trick plays,
momentum changers that you talked about, Tom, so eloquently. And, you know, you look at it, I mean, does he forget about the Alshon Jeffrey end of rounds? That was a huge play for the Bears. I mean, somewhat of a trick play a year ago. So he gets the Sports Authority gift certificate. The judge has ruled. That's what I'm telling you, Zach.
And you see Seattle use that end around a couple times in the Super Bowl when they brought back the fast guy's name slipping.
Percy Harvin. Yeah, all I want to see, if you're watching the Bears this year, is can you mimic what the Seahawks do defensively?
Because I think the Bears are on a closer road to mimic what Seattle did than what they did last year.
All right, there are all these new rules that were passed this week. Want to get Jim's take, want to get Tom's take here on Bears All Access. We'll do that next right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Alongside Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, this is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. I'm Zach Sadman. Got a lot of new NFL rules that were passed this week. So what I'm going to do is just read each one, get a quick take from each of you, and then go to the next one, because there's so many, but these are important things. For example, the refs are now allowed to consult with the officiating department in New York on replay reviews during games. Jim, do you like it?
Love it. Actually, before the official on the field is going over underneath the hood, they'll already be looking at it back in the league office. Dean Blandino, they'll make the call. It'll speed up the games, and it'll go much faster. I like it.
Right. I think it takes away a little bit from the officials, puts it in somebody else's hand. If they can make a quicker decision and get it right, I'm all for it.
Tom, you were a blocker. It's now illegal for blockers to roll up on the side of an opponent's leg. Previous, just the back of the leg, now the side.
Well, the way we are taught to use your body in a roll block, the side attempt was never legal. It was always the approach to the front and make sure the guy sees you. So now he has to take his eyes off the field and push you down in front of him. It was never a side attempt or a rear attempt. We always considered that illegal. It was trying to be a legal weapon and have him see us.
Jim, the goalposts have been extended 5 feet above the crossbar. Do you like this rule?
I think it's a little bit perplexing. You think of all the technology or the advances in technology. Why not just put a sensor in the football and make it like hockey, where there's a light that just lights up if it's good or bad, judging by that GPS sensor that's in it. So I get it why they did it. It can be problematic, but use technology that's out there that's available, and it could clean it up. So
I can't wait to see the first 50-mile-an-hour wind game. They're going to be swinging like palm trees. It's going to be – I don't – I mean, I just don't see the need for it. You know, how
It was because of Bill Belichick, right, Jim? That game against the Ravens where he lost his mind there?
That's what I mean. These officials, they're looking right up from underneath the goalposts and the extensions with the crossbar. And it's hard to tell. That's why I say use the technology of the game. I mean, hockey can do it. As soon as you shoot the puck in the goal, it lights up, right?
Yeah.
So green light, it's good. Red light, it's bad. Light it up. Make it more of a fan experience. I mean, to me, I thought they missed it on this one. They could use the technology of the game. Not hard to put a sensor in a football.
Jim's from Hockey Town, so he's going with the hockey analogies
with him,
today.
Though.
But it does make a lot more sense than, especially as a sideline reporter, watching those goalposts sway at Soldier Field with the wind.
The one that hurts Jim is no dunking anymore.
I love Jeff Fisher's quote, who's on the competition committee. He said, hey, if you want to see a dunk, go watch basketball, was his quote today. So, you know, I know everybody's going to say it's the no fun league, Tom. We know how you like to shove it down back in the day when you go across the crossbar. But, you know, I'm kind of old school. I'm like you. One, celebrate with your teammates.
Right.
You know, they really wanted to get rid of, a lot of the taunting and, on-field conduct. Because Jeff Fisher brought it up. There were nine in 2012, there were 9 taunting penalties in terms of unsportsmanlike conduct in the NFL. Last year, 34.
I mean, think about it. Walter Payton, think how many touchdowns he scored. Do you remember him doing anything crazy after scoring touchdowns?
No.
Jim Brown, same thing.
Sanders,
Barry Sanders, same thing. So it is possible to get noticed scoring touchdowns without doing anything to get noticed. I think that's a big thing.
Right.
Then there's the Navarro-Bowman rule. Remember this in the NFC Championship game? A recovery of a loose ball in the field of play is now reviewable. To me, this makes a ton of sense.
Right. It was the outcry because you're getting penalized for such a destructive defensive play. And when all that thing, the way the ball did squirt out and the way it was possession by San Francisco, it's got to be changed.
But then, Jim, if that's true, then why not have every play be subject to review to get them all right, if possible?
Well, Bill Belichick got shot down. I've got no problem with the head coach, and that was proposed by New England to say, hey, I want to be able to challenge every call. Granted, it puts a lot of pressure on the coaches because they're essentially officiating the game, but I wish the coaches did have that opportunity to challenge every call. We get this one. I mean, that could have affected, seriously, a championship game in football. That's the NFC championship game where that happened. And that cannot happen, so I'm glad this one passed. They got to get it right on the field.
No question. The clock will keep running, guys, after sacks unless they occur in the final 2 minutes. I don't remember a time where Jim Miller got sacked. Maybe once or twice. But as a quarterback, do you like this rule?
Yes, I do, because it really does favor offenses. Think about when the clock stops, how much you can plan your offensive play. And so it really puts the defense as at a disadvantage. So, it evens it up. The defense get one coming their way, and they should like that one because the clock shouldn't stop.
And finally, in the first two preseason games, guys, they're going to be experimenting this year with snapping the ball from the 20-yard line for extra points. So essentially, first two preseason games, you're going to have 38-yard field goal.
You'll have some rookies lose their job because they can't make an extra point in the first couple preseason games of the season.
Really?
I think it'll decide the fate of a kicker within the first two preseasons game, but when they go out there and say, hey, go kick these meaningless extra points that the veteran kicker used to kick now. And now he runs in, he gets a questionable snap by a guy who's trying to make it as a backup snapper. These will decide the fate of a player or two.
Here's what I think. I think, one, they're still going to be 90% kicking from the 38. I would hate for a game to be decided by an extra point. Let's say it's 20-20 and the extra point decides it. What if that decides the outcome? Bottom line is, just eliminate it and let a football play end the game, say a 2-point play. So I think eventually, granted this is tabled, but I think ultimately they're going to eliminate the extra point in the NFL.
Anyone who's been following the Bears on Twitter knows that Brandon Marshall has been working on team bonding experiences with his teammates. Have you guys seen this?
Yes.
Where he's invited a whole bunch of teammates to come down, work with him in Florida, and they keep posting pictures every day. Does that really work, that type of stuff?
I think it's great. Camaraderie is one of the key elements in team success. And if you have a bunch of guys that enjoy spending time with each other, it is something that's going to carry through the regular season. And they're going to improve, and they're going to understand the offense 1-5% better. So, again, when they hit the meetings the first day, things are going to be a little bit fresh than stale if they haven't been around.
Yeah, I agree with Tom. When you know somebody personally, say their wife, their family, their kids, you're going to play harder with them. And it is about bonding, and I think Mark Trestman has really emphasized relationships as the head coach of the Chicago Bears, and those guys got each other's back just by knowing each other a little bit more.
And I want to say both of you guys are invited to Hawaii anytime we can have a little radio session. Come on out.
I hope the Bears are listening, and if they pay for that trip to visit Tom, man, it'll be the mother of all Ask Tom segments that we have here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. When we come back, Jared Allen gets introduced at Halas Hall come Monday. We'll likely hear from maybe the general manager or the head coach. What are the questions that you want answered during that press conference? We'll ask Tom. We'll ask Jim next, right here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Alongside Jim Miller and Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman. All right, so Jared Allen, the press conference to introduce him at Halas Hall comes Monday. What questions do you have for Jared Allen, Mark Trestman, Phil Emery when he gets introduced?
What was his appeal, Chicago? Did he want to stay in the division? What does he feel? Where is his freshness at? Really, why did he choose Chicago? And I think that would just be an interesting topic because, yeah, they're going to have one of the most explosive offenses in the NFL. Was that a contributing factor to a defensive player?
I think for me, and actually one of the callers called in on the Ask Tom segment, I think it was Chris from Hammond called in about what style of defense are the Bears going
right.
to run. Hey, Jared, what style of defense do the Bears tell you that they're going to run? It's been evasive. Is it 3-4? Is it 4-3? I think we know it's going to be a 40 front, but that could clear it up too. But like Tom said, what sold him on Chicago? He wanted to be a Chicago Bear. And what was the ultimate, hey, signed, sealed, delivered moment where he knew, hey, this is where I need to be?
You know, if you're a fan of the NFL and you see what Mark Trestman has been able to accomplish in a short period of time with the offense, and then you come into the new Halas Hall and you see the studios, you see the practice facility, the weight room, the cafeteria, those are all contributing factors to create a real positive atmosphere when you're trying to make that decision. And I think some of the other cities you fly to, sometimes the destination is a little bit more lonely than it is when you come to a city like Chicago in the middle of the country. It's got a great fan base. You've already been able to see that. And again, playing against your own team twice a year has really got to elevate that desire.
The money doesn't hurt. And keep in mind, the wife is from Chicago. And what do they say? A happy wife leads to a happy life, right, Jim?
Absolutely. That is a true statement. There is no doubt about that.
The other thing that Phil Emery always talks about is acquiring players that transcend scheme. When you see Jared Allen, is he one of those guys? Because if you talk about potentially going to a 3-4 at times, not consistently, but at times to throw teams off, is he the type of player that can drop back in the coverage perhaps because of his athleticism?
Well, I think I have the answers. I mean, like we said, the space eater is not on the team. So 3-4 is out of the question unless it's added. There is no true zero technique on the Chicago Bears. I mean, granted, Ratliff has done that, but there are different styles of 3-4. I think there's 33 nickel and dime that the Bears could delve in on third downs. That could potentially be it. But I see him as a 4-3 defensive end and say, hey, go get the quarterback. And Jared Allen has done that better than anybody since 2004.
Yeah, I agree. That's the one thing Jared has been brought here for. It is to chase quarterbacks. No matter where he's lined up on the field, he's going to come out of a stance and he's going to challenge a tight end and the offensive tackles every time he rushes. And again, the opportunities he presents for the other guys is going to be if Jared's most effective.
Man, the offseason went up a notch when the Bears made their signing yesterday, didn't it?
It hasn't stopped yet. I mean, this is mid-offseason.
That was the juice. Hey, credit Phil Emery. They've made some great offseason acquisitions, but that was the juice I think Bears fans needed to see.
Yeah, everyone's been reinvigorated. Just in talking to some of the players over the last 24 hours, the locker room is pumped up. We know what it's done for the fan base. We know what it's done for you guys. So it's been a fun show.
Right. I don't know where you got that brand new 69 Chicago Bears jersey, Zach, but it looks great on you. You're going to be the favorite at the press conference on Monday.
Oh, man. All right, let's say goodbye. We'll do it again
the
next week.
The judge has ruled. You look good in it, Zach.
He does.
Anything to compensate for the face. For Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman saying thanks to Greg Miller, Jim Patchett, our executive producing staff, and the guys on the other side of the partition, everyone from Rick Camp to Herb Lawrence to Joe Ostrowski and company. Thanks for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, Verizon, and United Airlines.